Good morning. A couple of years ago, I received a promotional email from Mellow Mushroom. It's a pizza place. I think there's only one in Houston. Really great pizza. But I received a promotional email from them asking me to fight childhood hunger. If one were to give $25 to fight childhood hunger, then you would receive a t-shirt and a free meal. Now, I like Mellow Mushroom, and so I thought a free t-shirt would be really cool. So I scrolled down the email to see, well, what would this t-shirt look like? What would it be? And it said, "I helped fight childhood hunger." It didn't say fight childhood hunger. It didn't say you should donate to fight childhood hunger. It said, "I fought childhood hunger." As I thought about that, I thought, what would that be like to wear a shirt like that in public? I mean, what do I want people to do whenever I wear that shirt? What kind of response am I trying to elicit? Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. I want you to notice what Jesus says there in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. He says there, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount has been teaching his disciples the righteousness they must have to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he pauses here to tell us a very important thing. It is very easy to practice righteousness, not to please the Father, not to enter the kingdom of heaven, but in order to seek praise from mankind. And that must not be done, he says here. The Father does not judge appearances. The Father judges both our actions and our motives. Kind of a scary thing to consider for a moment. Kind of scary. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at what Jesus does. He's going to give three examples of what it means to practice righteousness to be seen by other people, or how we might practice righteousness for show. And then he's going to teach us, okay, what do the correct motives need to be, and how can we practice righteousness in the correct way? So notice with me, we're going to read verses 1 through 6 and verses 16 through 18 of Matthew chapter 6 here. Matthew 6, 1. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now skip down to verse 16. "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." There's three examples given here of righteousness for show. First, in verse 2, Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites who sound a trumpet before they give to the needy. Now, some people will try to find historical accounts of maybe people actually doing that, and maybe they did, but we don't need to try to stretch certain situations to make it sound like something. The point is very clear. Jesus essentially says, don't be like these people who sound a trumpet before they give to the needy. Essentially, don't try to make a big commotion about it. There are people who would do anything they could, as sounding a trumpet would appear like, doing anything you can in order to cause people to see your giving and your generosity. He says, don't be like them. Second example is he says, don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't pray like them. What they do is they love praying in the synagogues and in the street corners. The synagogues were where the Jewish worshipers would gather in different cities. And they loved praying publicly so that they would be seen by other people. And he says, don't do that. And then the third example, in verse 16, he says, don't fast like the hypocrites, because they fast in ways that cause others to see their pain. They walk around with gloomy faces, and they look all distorted and sad and weak. We even have historical accounts of how they would, men would stop shaving, they would stop bathing. They just do anything to cause other people to look at them and just say, wow, they are fasting. They are suffering for God. How righteous. He says, don't do that. We must not practice righteousness like this. And Jesus gives two reasons why we must not do this. And the first one is because they are hypocrites. It's hypocritical to act like this. Don't give, pray, or fast like the hypocrites. The Greek word for hypocrite, it is used of people who were pretenders and two-faced. And the word really comes from the idea of people who would wear a mask in order to be someone that they're not, from actors, essentially. I know this will come as a big surprise to you, but Johnny Depp is not the Mad Hatter. He's not Captain Jack Sparrow, and he's not Edward Scissorhands. Now, I have a hard time imagining Johnny Depp. In fact, I almost call him Captain Jack Sparrow as his normal name, but he's actually Johnny Depp. I have a hard time imagining him without all that eyeliner and all the makeup on. It's because he plays a really convincing role. We all believe, I mean, Johnny Depp is not Johnny Depp. I mean, he's Captain Jack Sparrow. That's who he is. He's got the dreads always. And if I were to see him in every day, I would be very confused. That's because he's a really good actor. And people who are hypocrites are really good actors. And he says they're hypocrites. Why? Because they are performing actions that are associated with righteous and pious and God-centered intentions, and that is not their intention. That's what hypocrites do. They say, I am focusing on God with whatever action I'm doing here, and I'm serving God. And yet, my intention is praise me, honor me, praise God and give to the poor, honor me. The second reason Jesus says that we must not do that is not only because that would be hypocritical, it'd be two-faced, it'd be acting, but also because if we practice righteousness to be seen by men, we have received our reward. There are two rewards that are possible, and we can only receive one. And they receive the reward of man's praise. Whatever our motive is, whatever we are seeking out of righteousness, that's what we're going to get. If we seek in our righteousness to cause others to honor us and to praise us, well, then that's the reward we'll get, and we won't get any other reward. But if we seek the Father's reward, if we seek the Father's praise, the Father's attention as we practice righteousness, then we will be seen by Him. How sad, brothers and sisters, to trade the Father's reward for a temporary pat on the back from people who are fickle and who change their minds every day as to what is good and what is honorable and what is praiseworthy. How sad. Who would want to do that? And yet, how easy is that for us to do? How easy is that for us to trade an eternal reward from the Father and the Father's attention for people's attention. We put on a show, draw attention to our good deeds, and seek their praise. It's a sad thing to give up. Human recognition is not a good reward. And so we must not act like them, because that would be hypocritical and we have received our reward. And so before we observe how we are to practice righteousness then, Jesus gives in each of these situations the correct motive that we need to have. And he says there basically in verses 4, 6, and 18 in each situation that our Father will reward us if we practice righteousness to be seen by the Father. Then the Father who sees us in secret will reward us. Hypocrites want others to see them for their own glory, but let us make no mistake, if we are true disciples of Christ, we only want to be seen by the Father. This is the only time that righteousness is successful for the true disciple. When we serve, when we give, when we pray, when we read, when we fast, when we sing, when we worship, our only focus must be, I have my Creator's audience. There might be secondary things that we want to encourage one another, but not that we want glory for ourselves. We only want glory for Him. And so that must be our only focus. Well, why? Because that's the only way that our actions can actually make sense. It doesn't make sense any other way. Our actions are saying we're focused on the King, and so our minds should be focused on the King. It should be focused on receiving attention from Him. So we want to give and we want to serve so people can experience the love of Christ and not look at us, but Him. When we pray and we read so that we can commune with the Father, speak to Him and hear Him speak to us. When we pray, we want to put all of our trust in His power. We must not hope in those situations that others in any of those situations are going to pause, stop, look at us and just admire us and say, wow, look at what they're doing, or think that. And if others happen to see us, true disciples must think, well, if they do see us, then my only hope then is that they're going to see the Father or see Christ through me, through my actions, and not me at all. Everything about our righteousness and our focus must have a vertical focus and not this horizontal focus for praise. We must not practice actions which are associated with a God connection when we want a man connection. Just consider how sad it is for a moment. Consider how sad it is when we actually cause others to focus on us. It's a really sad thing because we are very, we're corrupt people. We're imperfect. And we are not worthy of praise. When we practice righteousness in order to be seen by others, we are causing people's attention to be put on corruptible, temporary people who are worthy of no praise and distracting them from the Father, the one whose image deserves all praise, the one who deserves all of our attention and all of our honor, and we're stealing glory from Him. Good motivation for us to realize, yeah, I don't want to be the one who in the end, God says, what were you doing? Everything was meant to focus, everything you were doing was meant to cause people to focus on me, and you caused them only to focus on yourself. This is why Herod in Acts chapter 12 was struck dead, why he was eaten alive with worms, was because the people cried out, the voice of a God and not of a man, and Herod would not turn the people's attention towards God, who had given him that power and given him that voice. He was eaten alive for it. Struck dead. Now we need to study how to practice righteousness in the correct manner, but before we do that, we need to recognize that if this is a problem, our motives are the problem. The problem with the Pharisee in, I believe it's Luke chapter 18, is not that he looked up to heaven and lifted up his hands and and called out to and prayed to God, that might have been a problem with his posture, but the ultimate problem was his heart. It would have been fixed if he would have kneeled and then said, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like everybody else." No, his problem was pride. In this situation, the problem is a desire for man's praise. We must shift our motives and learn that we need to crave the Father's attention. We need to love him and not love man's attention or praise. We do not love the Father as we ought to, if that is our motive. And so since our hope and our motive must be to please the Father and to glorify him, everything about how we externally practice righteousness needs to focus on that. And namely, Christ commands in each situation that we do what we do. We practice our righteousness as much as possible in secret. Jesus says in each of these situations, do it in secret. First, you have serve in secret. Christ says we need to give so secretly, he says, so that our opposing hands do not know what the other hand is doing. Now, this is obviously a hyperbole, but it's meant to emphasize just how quiet our service and our generosity towards others needs to be. We must not alert others to our generosity and towards the ways that we serve other people. We must not dwell on our own service and start thinking, wow, I did a pretty good thing there. No. Keep it quiet. Don't even alert your own mind or your own other hand to it. We must only hope for his glory. How easy it is it to fail at that? To fail at serving secretly and quietly and giving secretly and quietly. It's very easy to fail at that. Even in Christian circles, we can place an overemphasis on the one who serves. We can have this desire to promote what we've done in order to sacrifice for others. But consider for a moment. Dig down inside yourself. Would we serve or give if there were no honor at all? Think about it. When was the last time you sacrificed for someone, gave to someone, served someone, visited someone, did anything for someone else, and did it in a way where you sought to make sure, I don't want other people to know about this. I just want the Father to know about this, and kept it quiet? Really easy for that to not be the case, isn't it? It's hard sometimes to think about situations like that. Jesus says here we need to do that in secret. That's something that is to be kept secret. And even the temptation might be, we might initially practice giving or serving in secret, and then Satan just gets into our mind and he causes us to think, man, that service, that giving, it's going to be completely pointless if nobody finds out about it. Come on, slip it out. Let it out a little bit. Post something on Facebook about how good it feels to serve someone else. False hypocritical intentions in the end. And we will not receive the reward that the Father gives. And so here's a test of our motives. How many times have you done something for someone else only to be very disappointed at their lack of thankfulness and gratefulness towards us? That is another way we can practice righteousness in order to be seen by men. Now, I think it says something good about other people when they do thank us for the things that we do. But how often do we get really disappointed if they don't fall down on their faces and praise us for our acts of generosity and service? Well, we're just seeking praise from mankind yet again. Fixing this starts with fixing our own puffed up view of our own service. We need to recognize when we give, when we serve, we are only giving the possessions and using the strength that the Father has given us. That's all we're doing. We're only given what we ourselves have been given by the Father. And as Jesus says in Luke 17:10, so you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. let's fix that in our minds and realize that what we do, it's the right thing to do, but it's nothing much because we've just been given these things from the Father and we're just passing them along and serving as His channels, His conduits for His glory. The second thing Jesus says in verse 6 is that we ought to pray in secret. Since we only desire the Father's audience in prayer, wouldn't that make sense that our true love, our greatest love, would not be praying in public, but our greatest love in prayer would be to pray in secret? Doesn't mean that it's wrong to pray in public. This is something that happens in Scripture. Ezra does it in Ezra 9. The Christians do it in Acts chapter 12. The key thing is that we don't pray in these settings, or that we don't pray at all to be seen by other people. Praying behind a closed door is a good example that Jesus gives here, a closet. Jesus is also a good example to us in the Gospels when He goes off onto a mountain to pray, goes to a separate place to pray. Find a place like that. If you're constantly surrounded by public situations, if you're tempted by this desire to pray, to be seen by others, let us go to a secret place. I've been to lectures where the one who prays, the one who leads singing, the one who gives lectures is placed on a pedestal every single time, even though the speakers will beg them not to place them on a pedestal. They'll beg them not to do it, and they will still do it. Give glory to mankind. And then say, oh, and glory to the Father in the end. It's not right. We ought not place all our admiration on people and place all of our praise on people. We must not focus on the one who is leading, placing a leading role in worship or leading role in anything. Not the focus there. As we'll talk about in a minute, it doesn't mean that we can't give thanks for people who do good things or who pray, or it doesn't mean that we can't encourage people who do a good job in what they do. But when we just make it all about the one who's serving and the one who is praying, the focus is gone. The focus on God's glory is gone. And so let's avoid drawing attention to ourselves, especially when we're in these situations where we serve publicly, whether we pray publicly, speak publicly, lead singing, do whatever it is that we do. Let's avoid drawing attention to ourselves, those who do that, and not act in ways that try to bring attention on self, but give all glory to God the Father. There's no reason to act any differently if the Father's attention is the only one that we're seeking. Third and finally, Jesus teaches us to fast in secret. Instead of fasting with gloomy and disfigured faces, He says, no, wash up, clean up. Don't let anybody find out that you are fasting. They should blend in with the crowd. Their stomachs may be hungry, but fasting is meant to fill them up on fellowship with the Lord. So why should anyone act as if they are suffering and miserable? If we are truly filled in the Spirit like fasting is meant to do, or any sort of thing where we are giving ourselves to God and we might have some physical pain in the midst of it, or we might be experiencing some sort of lack, we're doing that to give to God and to be filled up with God. Why would we try to act miserable? See, when we act like hypocrites, our actions don't make any sense at all. If we're filled up, act filled up and not try to draw attention to ourselves. Maybe we are suffering because we've been up all hours communing with God and serving God or speaking with God, doing service for our King. But if we truly love to please Him, let's not act miserable. And let's blend in with the crowd. Hypocritical motives don't really work out. And so let's keep all actions and practices of righteousness quiet at all times. Now, we don't want to leave with the wrong impression. And so I want to consider just three misapplications of this really briefly with you. So this does not mean then, this passage does not mean that we should not corral others to give, to serve, to pray, and to fast or do any sort of righteousness for our king. That's a good thing to corral others to do that. And people are going to certainly see us when we do that, but as long as our intention is not to be seen by others, it is good to corral others towards the practice of righteousness. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Corinthians 8 prove that, because it shows the importance of Paul, Titus, the preacher who was famous for his preaching of the gospel, and others, and how they were going around to the churches and corralling others to give on a weekly basis, to send the funds to Jerusalem towards the needy saints. And yesterday, for example, the people who were gathering to help Kimberly move, we need to tell people about that. And that's a good thing. Otherwise, people aren't going to gather together to do that, because we don't know. And so that is a good thing to do. Good point to bring out, Chalksoul. And second, this does not mean that our giving, our serving, our praying, our fasting is pointless if other people do see us. It's only pointless if our goal is to be seen by others. I want to make that connection there, at least, and make sure that we understand that, because that could get confused in our mind and we could actually miss an opportunity to practice righteousness simply because, well, other people might see it. Well, as long as our motive is not focused on that, focused on the Father, that does not mean that that is wrong then. And third, a third misapplication that we might make is, this does not mean that other people cannot thank us or that we cannot give thanks to others for their righteous deeds. We simply should not practice righteousness to receive that praise. And we also ought to be careful to give too much praise to people. It's okay to thank people and to say, good job at what you're doing. But we could help them by not giving them so much praise and lauding their name and bowing down before them. Ought to be careful, because that's not going to help them at all. Just going to give them a big head about what they've done. And so, let's think about ourselves. Who do we desire to please? What's in our heart? Whose praise do we long for? Whose attention are we seeking in our life? It's quite scary to consider how great deeds can end up meaning nothing. If we desire to be seen by men, then it does not matter if we cross the ocean to preach the gospel. It does not matter if we give $1 million, $1 billion, 100 times over to starving orphans. It does not matter what we do, how great it might be. If our intention is to be seen by people, it means nothing to the Father. That's a pretty scary thing to consider. And yet, how wonderful it is to consider that when we practice righteousness, no matter if the action is great or small, no matter if we're successful or we fail, when we're trying to just do what the Father wants us to do because we want to be seen by Him, doesn't matter how great or small it is, He sees us. We receive His attention in that time. Who are we that God pays any attention to us? How great it is that He does, though. What a wonderful thing. And so let's seek His attention in everything that we do, every practice of righteousness. Let's seek His attention in His glory alone. Let's not be deceived by this temporary honor of man, and seek His eternal reward. If you need help in your walk with God, then we want to help you do that. We want to help you draw nearer to Him and to seek His praise, and to not be like this world who so constantly is dissatisfied with man's praise, so constantly enslaved to that desire. We want to help you, and Jesus wants to help you become free from those desires and from that sin. And so if we can help you in your walk with God, and start your walk with God by putting your faith in Jesus, by being baptized, having those sins forgiven, that old man buried, and rise to live a new life, do that today. Do not wait any longer. Come forward to the front while we stand and sing.